The following previews are of Graphic Audio Productions, rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Ryan Cotter and his allies have been from one end of the Deathlands to the other, with both nature and man providing untold dangers. This time, Cotter will face the worst of both.
What guy is Nate?
Get out of the way, Doc!
Ryan Cotter finds himself thrown into an impossible mission, weighed against the lives of those he holds nearest and dearest.
You take your men to Yuma and come back with the Kurs who killed my son. I will hold your women and child. If you fail to come back with prisoners I can dispatch myself, I will take the women to wife and adopt your boy as my own son. You'll never see them again.
Ryan has only 10 days to reach the fortress-like home of Baron Wizard Cypher, a man with a lust for adventure. And one of his men knows Ryan's friend J.B. Dix all too well.
It's like you said, Ryan.
About this ville?
About the people in it. Well, one particular son of a bitch in it.
Which man? Jennison?
Yeah.
What about him?
The lives of his companions are on the line, in a vendetta that Ryan Cotter wants no part of. There's killing to be done. In Deathlands number 18, Shockscape.
Deathlands number 18, Shockscape, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting September 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy of Shockscape. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
A key member of the Stony Man team, a longtime ally of Mac Bolan, has been murdered.
They've killed my uncle.
I know, Rebecca, I know.
Now the executioner, along with Mossad agent Rebecca Mendel, are out for revenge. And they will travel to the four corners of the world.
Can't you get this crate to move any faster?
No.
I'm getting away.
Risk everything.
You are no longer a member of the Mossad, agent Mendel.
So be it.
Break every rule.
Throw him out of the damn chopper.
No.
In order to pay back his friend's murderers.
Yes, I had a friend killed.
He was in the way. What are you going to do about it?
I'll show you what I'm going to do about it.
Mac Bolan number 93, Retaliation. The breathtaking sequel to The Executioner number 300, Warrior's Requiem. Also available in October, and only from Graphic Audio. And now, our feature presentation.
Graphic Audio. A movie in your ears.
Graphic Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Terence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King-Williams, Nanette Savard, Karen Carbone, Kate Torrey, Casey Jones, and Mort Shelby. Deathlands number 17, Fury's Pilgrims. Ryan opened his eye, realizing that something had gone appallingly, hideously wrong. The silver armorglass walls of the gateway chamber were gone. Now they were a rich, deep, glowing purple. The metal discs in the floor and the ceiling were fading quickly, and the mist that often filled the Matran's chamber during a jump was almost gone. Ryan's muddled mind was battling to try to come to terms with the odd color of the walls, seeking a hold on a memory that he'd seen something like that before.
Where?
He shifted his position, closing his eye and opening it again, trying to work out just what was so terribly wrong. Two things, he concluded, air and gravity. And that also rang a feeble bell in the dusty west wing of his memory. Ryan drew a long, slow breath that somehow didn't seem to satisfy his need, then drew another and another. But still he felt a faint and disturbing echo of suffocation. His heart was pounding in his chest as if he'd just run a mile up a sand dune in combat boots, and the blood coursed through his ears like the tide along the Gulf shore.
Altitude.
That was the only possible explanation. He remembered his hard riding days with the trader. They'd been moving westward across the rolling plains of what had once been Missouri and Kansas, making good time, driving at top speed for 24 hours solid. They traveled past the haunted ruins of Denver, straight up into the mountains, stopping at a trading post in a place with a peculiar name.
Leadville? The Baby Doe Trading Post? Why am I...
His mind was reeling out of control, staggering down side trails when he should be concentrating with all of his energy on what was happening right here and now. But it had felt a bit like this that first night in Leadville, the heart and the breath and the ears. Several of the crews of the two war wags had suffered from headaches, sickness, and nosebleeds, and that had been caused by altitude. Ryan lifted a hand to brush a strand of black hair off his forehead.
Fire blast.
This was something else, not like it had been in Leadville. Ryan's hand felt as though it were floating in soft water. He moved it experimentally above his head, then cautiously around in a slow circle.
What the fuck is going on?
But the others all seemed to be still locked away into the dark coma that a jump often produced. The six bodies were scattered around the chamber, like the discarded toys of a petulant child. Christy lay on one side of him, her hair curled tightly around her head, protectively. Blood and watery mucus trickled from the corner of her mouth. Doc Tanner was sitting, oddly, bolt upright, his silver-headed sword stick gripped firmly between both hands, his leonine head resting on the gnarled backs of his wrists. Abe lay on one side, knees tucked up, hands thrust between his thighs, like a sleeping child seeking security. Mildred and J.B. Dix were lying together, their fingers entangled. J.B. was bleeding from the nose, a steady trickle of crimson that dripped across the floor of the chamber. Ryan's young son, Dean Carter, was on his other side. The boy had been sick, with threads of golden vomit trailing onto his jacket. His eyes were squeezed shut, and he was gripping the turquoise hilt of his favorite knife in his right fist. There definitely wasn't enough air. Ryan knew from bitter experience that panic could be a very effective killer in its own right. With a positive effort of will, he tried to take slower, shallower breaths, not allowing fear to control and overwhelm him. He tried to stand, but when he pushed himself off the floor, the one-eyed man had the sickening feeling of swimming. He dropped to a crouch.
Damn! It's perfectly simple, my dear chap. We are in a controlled environment with low gravity and a concomitant shortage of air.
Concomitant? What's...
Oh, I'm so sorry, Ryan. Old habits die hard. Yes, Die Hard 2. Rambo 4. Close game, that.
Doc Tanner shook his head.
I do apologize. What on earth was I saying?
Gravity and air.
Indeed, yes. It would indicate a return to that mysterious location that we've tripped upon before. Not an out-of-body experience, but perhaps an off-planet one.
Ryan felt sick, his throat contracting to avoid actually throwing up. It seemed as though his brain were still in free fall inside the world chamber of his skull.
Off the planet?
We have suspected for some time that the gateways were being used by some other force.